AJ, I'm reviewing a game right now that I'm very excited about. I can't tell you what it is, but it's something I'm very excited about. It's for the PlayStation 4, and it's coming out relatively soon.
Did you say it's for the
Yes,
PlayStation
it's for the
4?
PlayStation 4. It's God of War 4. They didn't even announce it. I'm reviewing it. Sorry, about the,
Well,
betraying
I
some
know that you
trust.
think God of War 2 was the best of the
Yes,
original
there.
three.
Does anybody think that with those? I know what you're doing, but just thinking about that. I remember God of War 2 had that cool opening with that. That's like what everyone remembers is the opening with the colossal Rhodes fighting
Which
you.
one did you run across the sword?
It was one.
Oh, wow, I like that part.
Yeah.
You don't need all this coke.
Don't. Clearly, I really don't. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
All right, no more Coca-Cola for
I know, right?
You're crashing, you're rising in the same sentence.
It really is messing with me, man.
You've had half a cup of Coke.
Yeah, so me and AJ, we record during our lunch breaks on Thursdays, and sometimes he brings me food, and he didn't this time, and I don't have anything here, except, and I don't drink regular Coke at all anymore. I had to transition to diet a long time ago, because I think, about 90% of my dietary problems was soda-based. But, man, just having it now, it is so sweet, and that sugar is just messing me up, and it is kind of fun. But, I never got to the month. It's still April, right? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. April 28th, 2016. Mike Minotti's here doing By My Brother Rats Guy.
Yo. Maybe I should give you a Coke for every episode. You got good energy now.
I know. I'm pumped up. Jesus. All right. Hey, how's it going? We're going to be talking about all that wacky stuff Nintendo is up to.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, Nintendo, right? So that's going to be kind of the main focus of our show. But we've also been playing the new Hearthstone expansion. We're going to talk about that in the special zone and a few other things. So it's going to be a good time here.
Yeah. So, Nintendo had a weird random day.
Well, it's not random. They released their financial report, which, they do. And usually there's, I was up for this. It happened at 3 a.m. and I was up for it, cause, or 3 a.m. Eastern time, because, they do it in Japan.
Right.
And I was up with it with some other GamesBeat writers, Jeff and Dean, and we were going to, because usually there's some news with it. They released,
some.
They released a shit ton of news this time. It was kind of surprising. I think a lot of it is a fact because their earnings were down 60%, which isn't too surprising in a way.
Well, they haven't released any games and their system is terrible.
Well, they released some. Hey, they had Mario Maker during that fiscal year.
It's Splatoon. They had a game.
Splatoon, maybe. I think Splatoon, yeah. But no, definitely not enough. The mobile strategy has just now started. But so the big thing was they surprisingly said, yeah, the annex is coming March 2017.
Worldwide launch.
Worldwide launch.
What a weird way to announce your console launch. We don't know the name of it yet, but we know it's coming out from a random phone call at 3 a.m.
Well, again, part of that is the investors need to know.
No, I get that.
Right? You got to do it. They got to know right now when the next thing is.
But can't you say, we are announcing it at E3? Make a big deal of it? It just
when
seems
you're
so weird.
We'll kind of get to E3 in a second, but they kind of have to say something to placate investors. You have to be like, look, don't, jump ship now, because we got the next thing coming. It's going to be fine. It's coming. This is when it's coming, so, whatever. And also, it has to be like, look, it's also coming in March. This next year is going to be rough, too, for a bit, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm glad this finally, ends those, it's coming in 2016 rumors once and for all. That were always kind of ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you why that rumor persists after you talk about the next big thing they announce.
Yeah. So, and then after all, so much speculation, they finally just said, Zelda for Wii U. One, it's not coming out this year, but two, it is going to launch simultaneously on the NX.
Now, they didn't specifically say it's a launch title for the NX, because I think a lot of people interpreted it that way.
I think it's kind of assumed.
Maybe.
I assume. I would assume.
I don't assume anything with Nintendo
anymore. I would say 99%.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's holiday 2017.
No. No.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it should be, but I would not be surprised.
That would be, God. But, no, I assume this is going to be very much like the Twilight Princess situation, except I don't think they're going to do, like, remember Twilight Princess actually came out on Wii before the GameCube version?
No, they'll come out at the same time. But it's because they were so, like, Zelda Wii U is 2016, oh yeah. That's why everyone thought the NX was coming out this holiday, too, because, okay, who's shocked that this game is also coming out on the NX?
Like, no one. And I assume I assume that was the plan for a while now. That's why, sure. I don't think it's going to be that long. And maybe there was a point where they wanted the NX to come out this holiday, and maybe Zelda's delayed with it in a weird sort of way that we don't know about.
I think that's a large part of it.
Yeah, but I think it's got to be a launch title. But yeah, and then like they said, at E3, they're only showing one game. It's going to be Legend of Zelda, and not on the NX.
But didn't they say, maybe I misread this or remembered wrong, didn't they say the NX will be playable?
No.
Okay, it's not. Mixed up something.
It will not be.
What's being just shown?
No. There's no NX at E3.
At all?
Yeah.
They have a console coming out in less than a year, and they're not going to show it at E3?
Yeah, that's what they said. E3 is just all Zelda. On the Wii U.
For the system that no one is going to buy this year, because you just said next console comes out in March.
If they have their weird reasons for not showing the NX, I guess this is the way you can still show Zelda. It is kind of the weird thing. It's like, who is going to get... I mean, I guess there will be people who won't want the NX. I mean, it's hard to say who's going to want the NX or not right now. We don't know what it is. But it is weird. I just wonder, because... like, something like, say, Star Fox Zero was built so much around what the Wii U kind of has. I kind of assumed they were doing that with whatever the Zelda game is.
Oh, if you thought it was giving me more than what Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD did with the screen, where it's just inventory and map, that wasn't going to do some crazy, like, you see through Epona's eyes on the gamepad to find hidden carrots in the ground. Which, honestly, now that I said that out loud, like, would not shock me if they did that on the E3 stage. But anyway.
It seems like so many rumors still think that the NX has some sort of second screen component, which is kind of...
Didn't we prove that didn't work?
Well, I think it doesn't work as, like, your main selling point, right? I mean... I certainly liked having that screen there when I was playing those Zelda games.
Oh, it's a convenience. I'll tell you what, it's nice. Yeah.
The Wii U was a pretty good Zelda playing system, which is kind of funny that it won't have its like own exclusive Zelda game ever, except for like Hyrule Warriors.
Can I go on my crazy crackpot theory that won't actually happen? I'm just making observations.
Mm-hmm.
Sega Saturn.
Oh God.
Was a Sega system that was released without its own exclusive Sonic title, playing mostly ports and side games. Then we got the Dreamcast and Sega died. The Wii U...
Oh, come on.
Does not have any exclusive Zelda games, just ports and side games. And then we're getting the NX and question mark? I'm just saying.
But, no. First off, Nintendo has that, like, Scrooge McDuck money bin.
Do they? They sold the Mariners.
No. They do.
They sold the Mariners.
I've seen the number for it. I can't remember what it is, but they have just, like, a crap ton of money in the bank. Like, a lot of it, like, from Wii, a lot of it's still left over from, like, the NES, like, taking over the world. They have money. They're not going to just go under. And also, they've been a lot smarter about, like, all right, we're going to get into mobile now. We're going to, you know, do the theme park stuff. And then, listen, I mean, I know the Wii U did do bad, and the Wii U was definitely... not a success. Is disaster appropriate? I don't know.
I think
it's
so.
It's hard to say.
I think so.
It wasn't like a Dreamcast level. And look, I mean
hold on a little bit.
I mean, look, like, but... I mean, they released software for it that still sold over millions of copies. They made money on that, right? They made money on Super Mario Maker, Splatoon, Yoshi, Pokken Tournament. Pokken Tournament, an exclusive, was number 4 in the NPD list, or whatever, 4 or
really?
5. Wow. Yeah. So the games are still selling. They're still making money.
I just wonder what
and
point,
they still have a 3DS going, too.
I wonder what point Nintendo, or more importantly, Nintendo's investors say, okay, look, you guys make great games. Do you really need to make your own systems?
No. It's not working. I make that argument all the time.
I know, but in a way
Nintendo
it makes sense.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. It just... I don't know if it's just like a weird icky feeling, but it just seems... I just can't imagine that really in some sort of weird twisted way. Especially when their portable business does so well. What are they going to do? Just make their console games for other systems, but not their portables?
What other systems? The Vita?
Right. So it's like they'll still be...
Maybe they just make handhelds and console games. I don't know. All I'm saying is, for a company that has a pretty easy game plan, make games in these franchises everyone likes, they have a hard time getting that right lately, it feels like.
No, but not necessarily. The games are still mostly fun. I mean, people didn't like Star Fox mostly, besides me, because I'm crazy. But
apparently.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, way to sell it on DLC.
Yeah, I know.
Because you were like, I mean, it's fun. Like...
I am way down by like everybody else's just like super negativity around it. But I mean, come on, like the last Mario game was still very good. I know we didn't like as much as some people 3D World. Yeah, 3D World. Splatoon was fantastic. Mario Maker was great. The last Smash Bros. Was incredible. I mean, the last Mario Kart is probably the best Mario Kart. I think they still make very good games, and I don't think they're going to have that problem. Like, suddenly. It's just a matter of making a system that's more attractive to people. And honestly, I really do feel like it's kind of the time to go back to basics a little bit and just make, like, a kick-ass Nintendo system.
Yeah, like, I mean, again, does Sony know something about the NX that we don't, and that's why they're doing this whole Neo thing?
I like to think that, but who knows?
I know, that'd be great. I mean, that'd be phenomenal.
But that's, like, kind of the problem, is that even if that was the case, like, the first wave of these NX games, I mean... Zelda's probably gonna look pretty good, but it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna compete with. Well, it was built for the ground up for the Wii U, and it has like that art style, so it's gonna look great, but it's not gonna be like, oh my god, look at this, like, it's not gonna have like an Uncharted effect or the Division effect, you know, graphically. So, and that is also kind of thing, like games like a Mario, like, how much can they benefit ultimately at to a certain point? Although, you know, you hear everyone talk about how good Ratchet and Clank looks. Right. So, yeah. But it is kind of like saying, like, what can you do? And I do think there's things they can do. I still keep saying they need to make, like, their Netflix of, like, Nintendo Classics, and that would be an immediate...
No, that'd be an automatic $10 a month from everybody in the world.
But, I mean, I don't hope they're like, okay, guys, we really need to, like, try extra hard to come up with a good gimmick this time.
Yeah, that's the thing. They need to quit it with the gimmicks. Everything's a gimmick.
Well, I mean, it worked very well with the Wii, and I still...
It worked well at first.
AJ, the Wii was one of the best selling systems of all time. You can't ever sell me on the fact that it was a partial success.
No. I understand what you're saying there, but I'm just saying, when you think back on the games that you would literally go back and play a Wii for, are you playing them because, oh, the motion control was so good, or was the game good?
Well, for a lot of them, the game, Zelda, the motion controls really kind of made that work. But I know, you can't discount the effect that stuff like Wii Sports and whatnot had.
Yeah, I'm saying as a lasting thing. Like, as a legacy.
Sure,
if I told you...
I agree, AJ, but it also didn't need to be a legacy thing. It needed to be really popular for 5 years and sell a crap ton of copies. And Nintendo would take that. Nintendo would take a flash in the pan that was really popular for 5 years and sold 100 million copies over a system that sold... 30 million, but, like, had a sweet legacy.
That's what the Wii U is right now, without the legacy.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you'd rather have something that was hot for a bit. Like, you know, like, the Kinect, that was 2 years. I'm sure Microsoft still loved it while it happened. They probably wish they didn't invest so much into it going forward.
Right, right.
It is kind of the weird thing. It's like, if they're not showing the NX at E3, then when? Because the system's coming out in less than a year, and we haven't seen anything of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I assume a Nintendo Direct, but...
Mm-hmm. The other thing I don't understand is, if Nintendo's not showing anything else at E3, what about all the 3DS stuff?
Right, I mean, there's stuff. They have a new Paper Mario game coming out for the Wii.
Right, yeah.
They're not going to talk about it? I love what we want everyone to be able to focus on the immersion of Zelda. You just don't have anything to show.
They have a new Pokemon coming out.
Yeah.
They have that shitty Metroid game.
Pokemon Go isn't, like, technically Nintendo, right?
No, not... That's, like, weird. But, I mean, they have Sun and Moon. They have an actual Pokemon game.
I forgot, because...
How'd you forget about Sun and Moon?
I don't know. Well, just all this conversation. That's dumb. Why wouldn't you have that at E3? That's a big deal.
I guess... You know, they had their directs, and I think they just think they can just... I mean, I guess the only thing they want... I don't know why. I mean, the only difference it makes having a game on the show floor at E3 is this is what the journalists are going to play and talk about. So, I don't know.
Do you really think you're going to have a hard time getting coverage on the first playable of the new Zelda game?
No, not now, because literally every...
Well, I understand, but if sure. Would you really, like, oh, I'm not going to write in my Zelda article, I got to play Paper Mario.
Interesting about this is the first E3 I went to, I think it was 2010, 2011 was when, yeah, maybe 2010 was when Skyward Sword was playable for like the first time.
That's funny.
Yeah, time.
Full circle.
Right. But yeah, so it's strange. I mean, I don't think it's as batshit crazy as some people make it out to be. It's obviously a weird period and weird things are going to happen.
It's just so odd because the message right now is don't buy anything until March.
You're going to kind of have that when you have a new system looming, right? I mean, of course that's
part of the problem they put themselves in when they announced that, like, you know, Soft announced the NX. How long ago was that? A year, 2 years?
Oh, they did that pretty early back when the Wii... I mean, the Wii U was kind of never looking super good. They did that pretty shortly after, like, maybe a year after PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
And that's been part of the problem is, like, what was the point of buying Wii U when you knew the next thing was coming? And you always know the next thing is coming.
Yeah, the next thing is always coming.
For them to talk about it like that...
And I keep saying this, like, the life cycle is going to be short, but it's not going to be, like, historically, like, record-breaking short. It's going to be maybe even longer than the original Xbox. And it's definitely, like, you know, comparing it to today, it's pretty short, where, you know, the Wii was out for, what, 2006 to 2012, so... Is that it? It's 6 years? Yeah, I guess it's 6 years, but, you know, it's coming up a little bit short. It is weird that the Wii U has actually been around that long already.
Yeah.
So kind of chugging along. The system's going to have one weird legacy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really, really is. It's like stacking... I mean, look, when you stack it up to, like, the main Nintendo home consoles, I don't think... It's pretty hard to argue it not being in last place. Well... Like he says, the Wii is always kind of a weird case because you think about the games you actually want to go back and play. It's like the Mario Galaxies and
Skyward Sword. Yeah, I want them to like make Mario Galaxy HD that plays with a controller, and I'd be like super happy.
Yeah, I was hearing people out, like if they're doing all these like HD versions of like these games, and it's like you almost can't do it for Skyward Sword. Like you need to play that game with a Wii remote.
Right, right.
It's kind of this weird problem.
Well, significantly reworking the game. But.
Right, well, that's, yeah, exactly. And then, like, what, is it even the same game anymore? Yeah, I don't know. So, it is kind of like things, like, look, we want to see what the NX is. I think it's got to happen, if not at E3, pretty shortly afterwards. And, you know, you always say yourself, why do something big at E3 when you can just have a whole day to yourself anymore, because you just have these digital streaming events and millions of people watch it. I mean, we saw Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, I feel like a console... announcement's kind of the exception of that.
Is it? Why?
Maybe it's just their own,
maybe that's just your kind of...
Like the old man in me.
Right.
Back in my day, we announced our consoles at E3 and we liked it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, especially if Sony's going to have the PlayStation 4 Neo, and one that's, right, why try to combat with that message?
Because you got a Zelda game launching on it? I don't know.
Well, hey, it's kind of... It was kind of a weird thing, because, like, what did you think of Twilight Princess at the time? Like, it was, like, a Wii launch game, but, like, it wasn't, like, it was, like, half a Wii game, right? It's one of those things, too, where it's, like, if we could have gone back, I probably would have just played the GameCube version. I wonder if we're going to feel like that with this Wii, like this. Like, who's going to play the Wii U version of this next Zelda game?
Well, now you're going the other way, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, presumably, I'll probably get an NX, because that's what we do. And, you know, I'm getting Zelda on that. Especially if there is, like, some demonstrative difference between them. Especially, you know, like, graphically, gameplay, whatever.
It'll be, yeah, that is kind of the thing. It's like, we don't even know. It's like, what is the difference going to be? And it's like, we don't even know what the end, like, at least.
Yeah, because that's the thing, too. I mean,
at least we immediately knew the difference between the GameCube and Wii version of.
It can't be too different, because if they're going to be showing just Zelda for Wii U.
Well, like, I get people excited.
And that's where we're going to be, like, shown, and that's how we're going to learn what the game is. They can't come out 6 months from now and be like, the NX version is completely fucking different. Whoa!
Right.
Like,
but at the same time, you do. You have to give people a reason to want the NX version and upgrade their system. It's like, it's weird.
How about because they never bought a Wii U?
Yeah. But like, that's like the weird thing. Is like, you have to basically promote this Wii U version of the game. And you almost have to release it almost like out of like this kind of like duty to not anger certain people. But you have to promote it. And then you basically have to throw it under the bus. And be like, now that's the version for losers.
Yeah, I almost feel, honestly, I feel like they should have just pushed it to NX entirely. What's the point of putting the resources
well,
and time
into
the
Wii? At this point, a lot of people may have bought a Wii U expecting to have that Zelda game.
Well, that was their own fault for poor planning, I'd say.
Yeah, but those people will hold a grudge. You have you, there would be a lot of articles about, like, Nintendo betraying.
Yeah, just like the people who banned, what was it on Steam that they were boycotting?
What?
But then they were, like, all playing
it was Call of Duty because of the private servers or whatever.
Yeah, people said, but guess what? People really fucking like Zelda a lot.
I tell you, I mean, here's one thing I guarantee you. That new Zelda game is going to be fantastic.
Well, I hope. I really hope.
It will be. It's going to be great. All right. So, yeah, Nintendo is doing weird stuff. What do you think about the new Hearthstone expansion?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, I am a big fan. So we both, well, you acquired, but I got the 50 card pre-order thing. So I think I have 160-ish cards of the possible 240 or 260 in the set right now. The big thing is everyone who gets any sort of Old Gods card set gets C'Thun.
Right.
And two of his followers.
It's like you almost have to because like so many of the cards are C'Thun followers.
Yeah, if you didn't have C'Thun, they'd just be completely worthless cards. So I threw together a pretty quick Warrior C'Thun deck just because I wanted to see what he was like. And then that's you message me and you're like, let's play. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you're like just...
Three for three with my C'Thun deck.
Yeah.
After that is when I went back and read the article you posted of your impressions where you said, I think C'Thun decks are dumb. I've yet to be beaten by one.
I still think they're dumb.
Well, yeah, you think they're dumb because they beat you.
I think they're going to be easily played around. I don't think they're going to have a place in the overall meta.
Whatever, I won.
Playing C'Thun deck, it's literally just all about C'Thun. I don't like that the whole deck is about one card. If you play against like a good aggro deck and you don't get to turn 10, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean that's the problem.
There's some decks that will like I think there's like priest or somebody has like a card where if your C'Thun has 10 attack or more, you can heal yourself for 10. That's good because it just keeps you alive longer to play C'Thun.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's with the warrior too. It's if he has 10 attack or more, I get
10 armor.
10 armor for 7 cost.
Right, and that stuff's fine. But I don't know.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta figure out ways to make sure you get to turn 10. Which is the big strategy.
The funny thing to me is the deck I've been having the most success with lately is I made a because they made some new pirate cards specifically for warriors. So I made a pirate warrior deck, and pirates were always like the big joke in Hearthstone.
Yeah,
it's always like something to make pirate decks. And I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's fun because it really is like completely just like based around weapons and stuff. And yeah, it's a fun deck. I'm enjoying it. But no, like I think, and I love standard. I was like kind of like iffy on that whole idea first.
Yeah, I'm super happy with how that turned out. Now here's the conundrum I have because according to Hearthpwn, where I have my collection uploaded, if I dust all of my Goblins versus Gnomes and Naxx cards, I could get like 6,000 dust.
Yeah, that's like a few legendaries. But it's kind of hard.
It is. Even though like I'm never gonna play wild mode. Like why kid myself? Like those cards are just virtually sitting there doing nothing. Why shouldn't I dust them?
I have the same feeling, but like I don't think I can bring myself to do it.
I know. I think I might just have to. I mean, here's the problem too. I didn't realize this until again. I was pulling my stats of the base cards. I like have less than half of them.
Yeah.
It's bad. Like, I don't even have a Doomhammer, and I play Shaman
decks. Oh, you need Doomhammer.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to go ahead and craft. I have, like, 2,000 dust right now, so I should probably craft a couple
Doomhammers. Right, yeah, no, that was kind of what I did pretty shortly, because Argent Tournament was kind of, or Grand Tournament was kind of worthless, so I put a lot of my, like, in-game gold into buying standard decks and just boosting that up, and there's still, like, there's, like, a lot of legendary.
At least Grand Tournament had some good Shaman cards that I do pretty much have them all. But, yeah, it's, like... I probably should just do it, because I need some cards. Mm-hmm. The other thing that kind of sucked is, so I did my 50 cards and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, they're doing it. Through playing the game, you can get 13 decks for free total.
Right.
So, like, you get 3 for logging in, then you get a quest to win 2 standard games to get 5 cards, then 7 standard games to get 5 cards. So I got my first pack of 5 from winning 2 games. So 5 decks, that's 25 cards. 23 of them were ones I already had, and I just dusted them. I was like, that's disappointing.
It happens.
Like, Jeff Parsons, he did the 50-card thing. He only got one legendary out of 50 decks.
Mm.
And it's like, I understand, RNG, that sucks, but, like, they should be able to be like, okay, we're going to guarantee you X amount of legendaries if you buy that many decks up front.
I kind
of
get that, but I don't know. Sometimes it swings the other way, man.
You know, if you bought like a deck of cards in the store. I mean, I guess
that's what happens.
I guess it's just like when you know, like, no one had control over me getting these cards, but when you're buying digital, they do have control over it.
Kind of, sure.
Because you don't want to discourage people from buying stuff when you're like, I'm just not going to get anything anyway.
No, they'll get something.
Yeah.
You don't need legendaries to win necessarily. They can help.
I know, but it's... Yeah, that's fun. It's like, you don't need to hit home runs to win a baseball game, but sure. That's what you get excited about. Right.
No, for sure, for sure. But, man, I've been enjoying a lot and playing a lot of Hearthstone again, which is good, because, like, I kind of like taking a little bit of a break from Overwatch, which is kind of mandated.
You're not taking a break. They close the closed beta.
Right.
You have to. So, I'm sure they did this all very deliberately.
Yeah, the timing was very convenient.
Yeah. I mean, just the overall, the pace they release stuff for Hearthstone is so smart, because it's like right when you're like getting like a kind of like,
well, it's like,
then like the next thing comes out and you're like,
okay. It's always about 4 to 5 months. So, yeah, they have a pretty good content curve.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably announce the next adventure at BlizzCon in November. I think that'll be where it's about time again.
Oh no! I mean, that's, you realize that's 7 months from now.
Maybe earlier than
that. Might be something even sooner.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Mirror's Edge beta.
Oh man.
Yeah. I knew there was one more thing. Yeah, I played through like the opening mission and did a little bit like free running around. I was so confused at first because like running like crap on my computer, and I realized. My computer, I have, like, a program that overclocks, but I also, like, underclock when I'm not using it to save power, and I forgot to turn off the underclock. I'm like, why am I only getting, like, 30 frames per second on medium settings? My computer should be handling this. And then, like, once I fixed it, I was like, because, boy, that game looks good.
In the beta, can you not change it from medium, or is
I just, I got it on ultra.
I don't know what I was doing wrong. But, yeah, it looks great, but, I mean, it's fun, right?
Yeah. They finally did what everyone wanted One's combat to be. But where it's more like kinetic motion, you're knocking guys into each other.
It's so cool, because it's not really like a combat system I've seen before. Yeah,
it's very... So, I mean, you have your light attacks, which you just kind of combo like whatever else.
That's kind of like how it was in Mirror's Edge 1.
But your Y button attacks, your strong attacks, they're all based on momentum and direction. So if you come up behind two guys who are standing next to each other, if you hit to the right as you hit your Y attack, you'll do like a roundhouse kick in that direction and knock the one guy into the other.
Yeah,
but, and you don't have to like take them out. You just need to knock them down long enough for you to keep running.
Right. What? Wait, are you playing with a controller?
Yeah, for some reason I was like, I'm going to play this with a controller, and I don't know, it works.
But yeah, no, it is cool because it's like a different, yeah, it's a very different kind of combat system where it's not just about like, it's about incapacitating, but kind of in a different way, where it's not even, you can knock them into each other, you can knock them against a rail or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like when you're playing on the PC, your like regular attack's on the F key, and that like strong attack is the one that's on the mouse, like the left click, because that's what you really kind of
need on.
And then you can use like the right click, and it's kind of like you're like, you can dance around the person a little bit. It's like your quick like
jump, like sidestep thing.
Right, yeah. Kind of like if you're like Z targeting in Zelda, that kind of stuff. But the one thing that I didn't like at first was the runner's vision, you wear things right. At first, it literally had, like, an actual trail. Like,
go here.
I was like, this is a little... But then you can just turn that off. You can put it back to classic mode, I guess, please. Because it seemed like a little, like, well, now I'm just following a line.
Yeah, like, I'm not even doing creating it. Anything, yeah.
Right. So, I was kind of happy I could turn... I was kind of surprised they even added it. But do you think the skill trees bother you at all? Because a lot of people were upset about that when they heard about it. Did you see that drama at all?
No. Was there not a skill tree in the first
game? No. People were, like, very mad that, like, it's like... Because, like... The only thing, there's a couple like movement things that are locked behind it, like quick 180 turns, but apparently you unlock them very quick. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, oh my god, they're artificially hiding stuff or whatever, but it doesn't seem to actually be a thing.
I don't know. I could take or leave skill trees. I think they're just kind of a way to make you feel like you're gaining something even when you're not, right. But whatever.
But I mean, yeah, the game looks really cool, and I like that the production values are really kind of up. Like yeah, there's actual, like, cutscenes, not flash animation.
Did you have performance issues during cutscenes?
I had like some sinking, or what was that? What was lines called?
Oh, V-sync or scan line.
Yeah, some scan lines.
Yeah, I just, my frame rate took a hit during cutscenes. It was weird. Did.
But and yeah, the whole open world thing seems to kind of work really well. It was cool because it's like, oh, go here and here's a race and try to figure out the best.
Yeah,
path.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm high on this game, man. I'm pumped.
I'm super stoked to play more of it.
Oh, Penny.
Hi, Penny. Hey, Penny, you're internet famous now.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone heard you on DLC barking at those mean landscapers?
Yeah, so yeah, if you guys didn't know, I was on DLC this week.
Yeah, so if you listen to our show, you might have heard of it, but it's Jeff Cannata and Christian Spicer's podcast. Mike was there ostensibly to talk about Star Fox, but you talk about other things too.
Oh, yeah, about PlayStation 4 Neo and whatnot. But yeah,
so it was a good conversation about the PlayStation 4 Neo.
Go check that out. It was super fun being on that show with those guys.
It's 5x5.tv/DLC.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see more of us, you can go to ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on iTunes and the Google Play Store now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also check me out on the Too Old for This podcast. We just recorded an episode last night that should be going up today. A lot of PAX talk this week because Jeff and Jay Loretta, friend of the show, was there. Yeah,
we had so much fun with PAX we went to.
I know, it's been bad timing for us.
Then everyone started getting married and having kids like around this time of the year.
And then they scheduled an Easter the 1 year, which didn't help.
All right, everybody. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on Exploding Barrel.
Bye-bye.